You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Notice, first of all, when I speak about brushing off trouble, notice that what I'm first of all talking about is when you brush it off, you refuse to focus on it. In other words, I'm saying no doubt you are going through some trouble, through some tests, through some tribulation, but refuse to focus primarily on the trouble. Now, listen, when I talk about refusing to focus on it, I'm saying, yeah, you may be going through trouble, but don't get tunnel vision when it comes to trouble. Don't get to the point to where all you can see is your trouble. Don't get to the point to where all you can think about is your trouble. Don't allow your trouble to dominate you. And so when you have that mindset, again, you're going to refuse to focus in on the trouble. Are y'all with me? Now, the next thing it has to do with is to give trouble the cold shoulder. Have anybody ever given somebody the cold shoulder? Do y'all know what I mean by that? Have you ever just had to just overlook somebody? They were talking, but they weren't saying much or nothing. And so you was giving them the cold shoulder. Understand there are times that, yeah, you're battling a whole lot of trouble, but you have to learn how to give trouble the cold shoulder. You have to learn how to look beyond your trouble. And yes, trouble will be knocking at the door, but you have to have the ability to say to trouble, I will not allow you to control me. And for some of us, when we begin to speak like that, we need to carry it further and let trouble know that you're not going to control me the way you did the last time. Because if some of us would be honest, we make a habit out of allowing trouble to control us. And I know some of you are right with that. You are right with trouble dominating you for a whole week. You are right with trouble ruining a whole month. But see, I came to a place in God that I don't want to allow trouble to ruin not 1 minute of my life. I don't want to spend wasted time worrying about what I'm going through, knowing that it's only temporary. And see, that's where all of us need to be. You need to be to the point to where you're not going to allow trouble to control you any longer. And somebody need to get that embedded in your spirit, because trouble has been controlling you for too long. Have you ever been there where trouble dominated a month? Have you ever been where trouble dominated a week? Where trouble had you to the point to where you didn't enjoy a whole day? Yeah, and for some of us, that may have been your only day off from work. But instead of you enjoying that day, you allow trouble to just come in and just wreck your mind. Oh, you ought to shout to somebody, don't let that happen no more. Oh, high five somebody and tell them, I can't let that happen no more. No, I can't spend a whole night not getting sleep because I'm worried about bills. I can't spend a whole night not getting sleep because I'm worried about what somebody said about me, because I'm worried about what folk think about me. No, trouble will try to dominate. Trouble will try to control you. But again, I have a choice in the matter. I don't have to allow trouble to dominate me. And sometimes trouble will try to cause you not to smile, not to express joy, not to be happy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. That's the reason you won't give me an amen. Because trouble keep you depressed. Trouble got you having all kind of split personality. Trouble got you up one day and down the next day. Oh, but you ought to shout, it's got to stop. Shout, it's got to stop today. How's it going to stop, Pastor? Getting me some knowledge and understanding. I'm going to start learning how to handle trouble instead of allowing trouble to handle me. Can I be honest? Some of us too old to be letting trouble do us the way it's doing us. Some of us been through too much to be allowing trouble to do you like that. This ain't your first financial storm. This ain't the first time something went wrong. Many of us, if we be honest, what we're going through right now, we've been through more than this in time past. So you have to give trouble what I call the cold shoulder. It's not going to give you the time of day to dominate my mind. And listen to what I'm saying. Now, that ain't always easy. Is that right? Third thing brushing off has to do with is to make light of. In other words, I'm going to make light of my trouble. Now, understand, I'm not talking about making light of your trouble in totality, because when you do that, you're operating in ignorance. Because when you study the Bible, God wants us to deal with trouble. He don't want you to totally just ignore trouble, because when you do that, you're not living in reality. And reality is that we'll go through sometime. Reality is that trouble will knock on your door occasionally, and you have to have an understanding that I ain't so saved that I'm exempt from trouble. You have to understand that you don't outgrow trouble. I don't care how old you are, you are still going to have some trouble in this life. Some of you think if you just get married, you won't have trouble, but you're still going to have trouble. Some of you think if you can get to be a senior citizen, you won't have to worry about trouble, but you're always going to have to deal with trouble, because it is in fact a part of life. But I need to think light of it. And when I talk about thinking light of trouble, I'm saying don't magnify your trouble. See, some of us, we glorify trouble. We actually make trouble bigger than what it is. How do you do that, Pastor? By talking about it all the time. Get it off your mind. All you talking about is the trouble. And like it or not, when you do that, you magnify it. Have anybody ever just talked so much about what you were going through that it got bigger than what it actually was? Oh, I'm finna get you. Have you ever worried about something and found out that what you were worried about never took place? It never happened, but you so magnified it. I done wasted time worrying about stuff that never manifested. Don't magnify your trouble. And some of you, you've actually, from the churches that you came from, you've been taught to magnify trouble. You've been taught to say stuff like, the devil is on my back. The devil is on my track. The devil is riding me. Get him off your back. Get him off your track. Come on, somebody. Don't submit to that stuff because you heard your grandmother say that. Don't quote that. You got authority over the devil. You can actually cast the devil out. Now, this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. Paul said, but these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work it for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, while we do not look at the things which are not seen, but at the things which we don't look at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are only temporary, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal. The reason I can make light about my trouble is because I got an understanding that it won't last always. Yeah, I'm not going to magnify it because I'm not going to always be in it. I'm not going to magnify it because God can pull me out of it before the day is over. I'm not going to glorify this because I can be out of this before this month ends. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. I know we got a few days left, but God can bring you out before September come to a close. That's the reason I'm not going to magnify. Now listen, when you get this attitude, some folk will fall out with you. Because that's all some folk want to talk about is trouble. Y'all don't know folk like that. You don't live with folk like that. Only thing they want to talk about is their trouble. You never ran into nobody, ain't never got nothing good to say. Every time they open their mouth, they complain. Every time they open their mouth, it's in reference to some type trouble or trial that they're going through. I choose not to be like that. It ain't a one of y'all in here that can say, man, when I've gotten around pastor, all he talk about is what he going through. You can't say that. If you do, you lying on me. because I don't do that. I can be going through a whole lot, but I'll be smiling and talking to you as if ain't nothing going wrong. Yeah, I'll blow your mind. You at least, and that man don't ever go through that. The devil is a lie. I just don't allow it to show on my face. I just learned not to wear my trouble. Tap somebody and tell them, stop wearing your trouble on the outside. Now, you can't do that if trouble is dominating you on the inside. If trouble is really dominating you, it's going to show on the outside. Is that right? Is that right? And so I don't want to magnify. I don't want to make it more than what it is. Are y'all with me? Boy, that need to be preached in the church. I'm not going to magnify my trouble when I can magnify my God, who is well able to bring me out of the trouble. Somebody shout, well able. Well able. Now, this is what we need to know about the book of James that I feel like is important, because the book of James is actually written by the name bearer of the book, that being the Apostle James. Well, Pastor, what do we need to know? One thing you need to know, according to history, James was known as James the Just, or as James the Righteous. One reason, I believe, was because James was a man of faith. He was a man that trusted God. And according to history, he was a man that believed in the power of prayer. He believed that prayer could change things. But also, when you look at James, he is also the brother of our Lord Jesus the Christ. James is the brother of Jesus. But also, he is the pastor or the overseer of the church in Jerusalem. I need y'all to stay with me. Now, James is said to be one of the earliest epistles that was ever written. But notice when James wrote the epistle in James 1:1, notice how he referred to himself, because this is so good. He said, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that James says of himself that he is a bondservant. In the Greek, it is the word doulos. He considers himself a slave of God. He considers himself to be somebody that's sold out to God. Now, whenever you are a slave, it speaks of the fact that you have a master. And more than that, it speaks to the fact that your will is not your own. See, that's the reason some of us need to stop lying. You need to stop telling folk that you sold out to God when you have not learned how to deny yourself. You have not learned how to set your agenda aside in order to do the will of God. But James said, I am a bondservant of God. I am completely sold out to God. I have yielded my will over to his will. And so I would rather do the master's will than to do my own will. Oh, I wish I had some slaves in here. Some folk that were sold out to Jesus. Some folk that were bona fide when it came to serving God. When you're bona fide, you don't let stuff come before church. When you bona fide, you don't let stuff come before prayer. When you bona fide, you don't let things come before praise. Oh, I got your number then, because some of us claim to be sold out, but the house of God, the place of worship, is not as important to you as it need to be. When you sold out to God, you're going to be at church. No doubt about it, I'll see you at Bible study. No doubt about it, I'll see you Sunday morning. Why? Sold out. And when you really sold out, not only will you know it, but folk around you will know that that girl is sold out to Jesus. That man is sold out to Jesus. Why? Because they see in your choices that he comes first. Not enough for me to say he come first, but I want others to testify. I want others to see and say of me, hey, Jesus come first with him. Yeah, that man crazy about the Lord. Are y'all with me? And so again, he was a bond servant. What I find interesting is that James was not like a lot of us. He wasn't just doing what he was doing to get the glory. You know, some folk only do what they do just to get the glory. They don't want God to get the glory. They want the glory. You say, Pastor, why you say that about James? Because if that was some of us, we would not have started the epistle off by saying James, the bond servant of God. We would have said, I'm James, the brother of Jesus. And see, we'd have tried to get some clout on that. Am I right about it? No doubt we'd have made a name tag. I'm James, the brother of Jesus. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said, I'm James, a bond servant. I'm a slave to him. Though naturally speaking, he's my brother. I recognize this is bigger than natural blood. He is my savior. What Paul said, know no man after the flesh. And so again, James was sold out to the point again to where he considered himself a doulos, a slave. Even though again, naturally speaking, Jesus was his brother, James set that aside to recognize who Jesus was, that he was in fact the Son of God. And again, that's important. That's important. And so as he write this epistle, again, it's not talking to sinners. It's not talking to the ungodly. And so many people get that confused. God will not ask a sinner to count it all joy about their troubles or their trial. But he's talking, notice again, verse number 2, he says, my brethren. Something that's synonymous with brethren, or a word that's synonymous with brethren, is saints. He's talking to saints. Another word that's synonymous with brothers and saints is the church. He's talking to the ecclesia. He's talking to people that have been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light. See, if you've really been called out, you can't view yourself as a sinner anymore. You can't view yourself as somebody that's still a child of the devil. No, I've been converted. I've been redeemed. And so now I have to receive God's word. Listen to me, no matter how much it shocks my natural mind. Because whether you'll admit it or not, anytime somebody tells you to count it all joy concerning various trials, that shocks the natural mind. Because that's not a natural emotion. It's not a natural emotion to be joyful over trouble. Oh, Lord. But it is a natural emotion to be joyful over blessings. You don't ever notice that I don't ever have to come out here and teach you to be happy when you get blessed. How many messages have you heard me preach about being happy when you get blessed? You ain't got to teach it. It's a natural emotion to smile when good things happen. Oh, some of y'all playing me this morning, but I ain't going to let you do it. Tell your neighbor, I know what he's talking about. Tell your neighbor, a smile automatically comes on my face when good things happen for me. See, I don't care what you're going through this morning. If I walk out there right now and give you $10,000, you go rejoice. I'm not going to have to tell you, smile, brother. Get up, sister. Ain't going to have to do it. That natural emotion going to kick in. Is that right? Is that right? That's the reason when we talk about Acts 20 and 35, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Most of us we don't buy into that. We don't buy into that. We want to receive. We don't consider it more blessed when we give. It'll shock the natural mind. Are y'all with me? But nevertheless, he says, my brethren, he said, count it all. Look at here. Joy. When you think about all the trouble that you're facing, consider it joy. When you think about how everything that could go wrong has seemingly been going wrong, deem it something to be joyful about. See, some of you looking now like, sure, ain't he saying that wrong? No, he's saying it right. He's saying it right. And it can't just be a thing you do in public. Oh, Lord. Because some of us, we got it down pat in public. We put on a certain face in public. And I've been guilty of displaying one thing in public, but in private, man, I'm highly upset. In private, I do not like this, what I'm going through, one bit. I find no joy in this suffering. Woo! When I was broke, I found no joy in it. Listen, until I matured, I had to grow up. Are y'all with me? And so if you're going to do this, this is really going to take something. This is going to really require something out of you. You're going to have to be the type of person that is truly a disciple of Christ, which means you are an adherent follower of Jesus. You don't just come to church, but you come to church to receive knowledge and understanding so you can go back and deal with whatever come your way. If I come to church and I dance and shout hallelujah, but if I don't get to do all of that, I came to receive the word of God so I will know how to handle my trouble so I can go to the next level. I want to pass this test so I can go further. Some of you still taking the same test. You were taking that 2 years ago. You learned years ago, stop doing all that complaining. But still doing it. Always got to tell somebody what you're going through. Sometimes folk need to be honest. Look, I don't want to hear today. Some of us need to get that way with certain people. Soon as they open up their mouth, well, I don't want to hear it. You're going to make them mad now. I mean, some of you are like, I ain't doing it. Yeah, you're going to make them mad. When they go to getting ready to go, you know how some folk get on that road. You can tell when they get on that road, boy, they ready to just pour it out on you. They say, look, I ain't got time for it today. But listen, again, he talking to the church. He talking to the church. My brethren, notice, count it all joy. Notice this, when you fall. Notice, when you fall. Somebody say, when you fall. Tell somebody, not if you fall. Tell them when you fall. Tell somebody else, not if you fall, but when you fall. Now notice how he describes going into various trouble. You fall into it. Why did he say fall? Because we would never intentionally go into it. See, if God left it up to me, I wouldn't go through no more trials. I'm just being honest. I wouldn't go through no. If there was door 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2 had trouble, I'm going through 3 every time. I'm not going to choose 1 if he leave it up to me. I'm not going to choose to go through trouble if I don't have to. That's the reason James said, count it all joy when you fall. You're going to fall into it. It's going to happen. Tell somebody it's going to happen. Sooner or later. Now, listen to this. Listen what he said now. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, notice this, because this is important. Trials don't produce faith. But when trials are received with faith, it produces patience. Come on. See, trials don't produce faith. But when trials are received with faith, they produce patience. And patience is not the passive word for waiting, but it is the active word for enduring. Anytime you operating in patience, you ain't waiting on God in the sense that God is late. You ain't waiting on God in the sense that God forgot. See, patience is that word that deals with endurance or perseverance. The Greek word has to do with to remain under. In other words, it gives a picture of somebody that's under a heavy load, but they're not trying to look for excuses of how to get off and under the load, but they are remaining under the load. And while the load is being pressed upon them, they're actually learning how to endure or how to persevere without the trouble being removed. See, that's important, because there are times that God is not going to immediately rescue us in the manner that we desire, but he will put an anointing upon you to endure what you're going through. But if you don't know God, you'll think God ain't moving for you, when in actuality you couldn't handle what you're going through now if he didn't put an anointing. Boy, you better wake up in here, because some of you got an anointing on you to endure. That's the reason what you've been going through hadn't took you out yet. That's the reason we ain't lost our mind. He's helping me to endure, to persevere despite the trial. Come on, somebody. Despite what I've been going through, I'm enduring in the midst of it. And some of you about to experience some of the best days of your life because you endured. I said, because you hung in there. I said, because you counted it all joy. Now God is in the bring you into much, much better. Yeah, but you coming out of it with a testimony. You coming out of it letting people know, if it had not been for the Lord, woo, who was on my side. Sit down. I thank God he didn't just snatch me out of everything. Boy, because right now I know a lot about God. But a lot I know about God, I learned it when it was hot. I learned it in there. There's even times in life God have to allow people to let us down, so we'll really know who we can depend on. Sometimes folk got to let you down in order for you not to make people your crutch in life. When I look back on certain things, it was as if God orchestrated it, so that certain people wouldn't be able to help me that I normally like to run to. It was like he was closing doors. You ain't running there this time. They ain't got it. They can't do it. Somebody need to shout, I'm there right now, Pastor. I done tried everything I know to try. Have you ever been there where you done tried to run here? You done tried to do that, and none of it is working this time. And see, there'll be a time God say, no, you're going to trust me in this one. You ain't coming out of this the natural way. I'm going to bring you out the supernatural way. I'm going to do for you what your eyes have not seen, what your ears have not heard, neither what has entered into the heart of man. I'm going to do for you what's something that's going to blow your mind. And see, you better praise God, because he may be setting you up for the greatest miracle of your life. But you got to learn to rejoice right now, because what God is doing is bigger than you. It's bigger than your job. It's bigger than your family. But notice, again, patience is not the passive waiting, but the active endurance. Why do I need patience? Because if I don't have patience, if I don't learn to endure, if I don't learn to persevere, instead of patience working on me, I can actually be in various trials, but become bitter, become angry, become unforgiving. I should have got more amen. Can actually become short-tempered. See, if you don't know how to deal with trouble, you're going to change. And you're going to change for the worse. You know how some of us, when we're going through trouble and we simply can't handle it, our tolerance for people and things is very short. You ain't ever amazed yourself that when things are going your way, how you can just put up with stuff. When it's going my way, my children seem like they don't really bother me. They don't really get on my nerves that bad. You know what I'm saying? They can do crazy stuff, but when it's just going my way, I just don't worry about it. Somehow we're going to work through this. Yeah, this too shall pass. We'll deal with it. We'll talk later on. We'll get together. You see what I'm saying? But when all trouble is breaking loose, what you done down there? What are you doing? You just run around. Just run around like a madman. But like a crazy woman. Some of these men know about a possessed crazy woman. What kind of woman is that? That's the kind of woman that's looking for a fight even though she's smaller than you are. That's the type woman done got crazy and I walk up on you and say, I dare you to hit me. Ready to fight. And you wonder, wait, what's going on? Trouble. Get angry. Mad at everybody. How can you not feed the dog and you know that joke ain't got nothing to do with what you're going through? He can't even talk. But he didn't get fed because of... How you gonna pour all the water out the fish tank knowing he cannot live without water because you upset? Telling when you don't know how to handle trouble, trouble will change you into somebody that really you'll treat folks so cold that you'll go in another room and you wonder, how can I be so mean? You ain't never did that. Just what is going on? And there are folk in here that are acting all out of character. See, when you are normally an upbeat person, a happy person, always smiling, hey, how you doing? And all of a sudden you just... It don't take a spirit of discernment to figure out it ain't going their way. Sometimes it's just the grace of God that I don't walk up to some folks and say, it ain't going your way yet. Oh, excuse me. I wasn't meaning to laugh. But it's not, is it? Why? Your personality done changed. You put up them cigarettes. But when it ain't going your way, and that hand get to shaking. Somehow it just helped her. What is that doing? That bill still ain't getting paid. Come on. Come on. But trouble. Trouble beating you down. Are you there? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been guilty? Have you ever been guilty? Listen, have you ever been so guilty and you know folk at the church didn't know, but folk you live with now. And they just stand back from afar off and watch you play the hypocrite. You ain't been speaking to nobody down for a whole week, but come in the church and now you operating, you over the hug committee. You ain't hugged nobody at the house, but now you over the hug committee. And just want to do things for people. Want to go out of your way. Pastor, there's anything I can do for you. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. Do you your wife like that? Have you asked your wife, is there anything you can do? Ask your neighbor, say, what is trouble doing to you? And say, what are you allowing trouble to do to you? Listen, God, this is important. This is important. If I don't want trouble to get me bitter, to get me angry, to make me short-tempered, to cause me to be sad, depressed, or oppressed, I have to know how to handle trouble. Now, notice James said, count it all joy. But he says something that's very important that most of us don't get. Now, notice what he said. He said, my brethren, I'm in verse 2. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, the next two words are important. Because he told me to do something that's quite unusual. Are y'all with me? But then in verse 3, he says, knowing that See, the only reason I'm going to be able to count it all joy, I got to know something. You say, Pastor, I've been saved for years. Why can't I count it all joy? You don't know something that you need to know. Because he said, my brethren, count it all joy. Knowing that. See, now as he talks, if I don't know what he's saying, I can't count it all joy. You see what I'm saying? Because I don't know what I need to know. I don't have the knowledge and understanding that I need. See, knowing equates having knowledge and understanding. Oh, you say, Pastor, what's so good about knowledge? Oh, you got to know knowledge. Listen what knowledge is. Now, according to Jeremiah 3:15, God said, I give you pastors that's after my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. First thing many of us got to learn is that the pastor is not your best friend. The pastor is not your buddy. The pastor is the person that's been assigned to give you knowledge and understanding. Why? Because he cannot be with you all the time. And so his job is to give you knowledge and understanding. And that's what you come to church for. You don't come just to socialize. This ain't a social club. You come to get knowledge and understanding. You didn't come to pass notes. You didn't come to be texting while I'm preaching. You didn't come to have your tablet out checking your email. You came to get knowledge and
understanding.
What's important about knowledge? Notice what knowledge is. Knowledge is, first of all, an awareness of truth. When I have knowledge, I'm aware of truth. Not any kind of truth, but the God kind of truth. The kind of truth that Jesus said will make me free. See, when I have awareness of truth, it'll make me free. No matter what's trying to hold me, truth will make me free. What is true? Thy word, according to John 17, is true. So God's word, being aware of it, listen, to the point to where I put it into action, that's knowledge. I have awareness of truth. Are y'all with me? It also has to do with having right discernment. See, when I'm in knowledge, I can discern things correctly. I understand things. I'm not ignorant. I'm not in darkness. That whatever I'm going through will catch me by surprise. No, if I have knowledge, if I got right discernment, I don't allow this to negatively affect me because I'm aware of truth. I can discern, I can perceive what's going on with this. You take, for instance, when you deal with death. Most folk don't know how to deal with death. Even the passing of a loved one. See, in order to show enough know how to deal with that, you got to have knowledge. You have to understand, though I'm going to miss my loved one, though I'm going to miss talking to them, I'm going to miss hugging them. If they died in God and you have knowledge, you know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so though you may cry when you think about them, you're going to rejoice because you know they made it to heaven. See, that's having knowledge. But if you don't have that, you're going to be messed up. Tell your neighbor, show you right. So you need knowledge. So you need knowledge. Is that right? Now, according to Proverbs 11:9, listen, the righteous are delivered through knowledge. See, knowledge is so important to the righteous. Knowledge actually delivers the righteous of folk that live by faith. So if I don't have knowledge, I'm going to miss out on deliverance. Are y'all hearing me? That's when it's so good to come to church and pay attention. Because if I don't have knowledge, Hosea said, I'll be destroyed. I'll perish. That's when so many saints are perishing. Why? They are rejecting knowledge. And you don't want to do that. Now, understanding. What is understanding? Notice, understanding is the ability to grasp the significance or the importance of something. See, when you have understanding, you can grasp why this is significant, why this is important. And when you have understanding in that matter,
it releases a blessing on you. Just like the tithe. If you don't understand the significance and the importance of tithe, then I don't care how much somebody quote Malachi 3, you are never going to give the tithe until you come into an understanding that it belongs to God and not me. And when I hold on to it, I curse myself. But if I release what belonged to God, he will bless the other 90. See, God said 10% is here. That means if I give him his 10, then he'll bless the 90. Oh, but if you don't understand that, every time somebody mentions something about money, you're going to think the preacher trying to take your money. You're going to think he's trying to get over on you. And then you give the tithe and see what the preacher driving him to my, oh, I the one got him that car. You ain't got me nothing. You ain't bought me nothing. If you did, I confess it. It is. Only reason he well at cause I be tithing. You crazy. You think if you stop tithing that God won't take care of the man of God if he living by faith? Come on. Come on. Tell your neighbor, I know you got a better understanding than that. So you got to grasp the significance of, now understand this, because this is going to catch you by surprise. When you actually have knowledge and understanding deals with intelligence. Listen, despite what you've heard, God's people are not dumb. God's people are not ignorant. I ain't get that many. I'm sitting there, if you're a child of God, I'm sitting here telling you, you're intelligent. You are intelligent. You have insight. That's what understanding is. Understanding means I'm intelligent. I know things. I have insight. I'm bright. You ever heard somebody say, man, he bright? But you ever heard somebody say of a person, man, that bulb ain't on? You ever heard somebody say that like that? That bulb ain't lit. Come on, you never heard somebody say, man, I'm going to tell you now, he a good person, but the elevator don't go to the top. You see what I'm saying? That is not a child of God. Children of God are intelligent. Reason being is because their father know everything. How can my father know everything and he will release wisdom if I just ask, but I'm ignorant, stupid, and dumb? Something ain't right with that. You don't want to learn. Oh God. I said, we intelligent. Why? God give us insight. Just like folk that are struggling now because the only thing they looking at is the media and they so worried about the recession that they allowing that to just cause fear to grip their heart. But God said, I don't want my children like that. So I'm going to give y'all insight. I'm going to let y'all know, despite the recession, I'm going to show out for you this year. I want to let you know, despite what they're saying in the media, I don't want you to believe that. I don't want you to start quoting that there are no jobs out there, because I have promised that I will supply all of you according to my riches in glory. Tap your neighbor and say, I got insight. Oh, tap to my phone. Tell I'm intelligent. Ooh, some of you better wake up. You just found out something that the devil didn't want you to know. You are intelligent. You have insight. I know things that the average person don't know. You hear me? And so when you got that knowledge and that understanding, that's what positions us to be blessed. Now I'm going to deal with the three knowings that we have to have in order to handle trials. I'm going to deal with three knowings and I'm going to be done. You got to have three knowings in order to count it all joy. Again, if I don't know, trouble going to dominate me. But if I know what I need to know, not only will trouble not dominate me, but I'll be blessed in the midst of trouble. Somebody didn't hear me then. Trouble won't dominate me, but in the midst of trouble, I'll be blessed. The favor of God will be all on my life if I simply know some things. Are y'all with me? And when you know these things that I'm going to tell you, then when you're going through trouble, you can brush it off. And then you can rejoice. Is that all right? Notice Psalm 46. Oh, Lordy. Notice Psalm 46. Some of you know where I'm going. Psalm 46 and 10. Notice. One of the first things I got to know, Psalm 46:10, if you got it, say, I got it. Notice what the psalmist said, be still. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am who?
God.
I am who?
God.
God represent Elohim, the supreme one, the sovereign one. See, the first thing you need to know when you're going through various trials, you need to know that God is in charge. You need to know that. See, right then and there, if you really succumb to the ideal that despite what I'm going through, God is in control. God is sovereign. God can do anything but fail. Guess what? You release God to bless you in the midst of trouble. Be still and know. Have that knowledge. Have that understanding that I am who? God. Remember what Moses said to Pharaoh when he told Pharaoh to let Israel go? Pharaoh said, who are you that I should let him go? And Moses told God, said, Lord, who am I going to say sent me? Lord said, tell him I am that I am. You know what that means in Hebrew? I am that I am, and I will be who I will be. If you need a deliverer, I'll deliver. If you need a blessing, I'll bless. If you need a miracle, I'll work a miracle. I am that I am, and I will be who I will be. See, understand, if I know that God is sovereign, trouble don't shake me. I can brush it off. But tell your neighbor, you got to know that, though. Tell another neighbor, say, you have to know this. When trouble is seemingly saying something different. Tell him, you have to know God is God no matter what you go through. Tell somebody else, you got to know this. And tell them, if you don't, you're going to feel like you in it all by yourself. Like some of you feel it right now. I'm in the God done forsaken me. He said he never leave me. You don't know God. You don't know God. By the way you talking, you do not know God. God will never leave nor forsake his people. And see, some of you, by what you say about God, it tells me that you don't know that God is. You don't know that he's Elohim. You don't know he's in charge. But in order to brush off trouble and count it all joy, this is something I got to know. I got to know. Be still and know that I am God. I am. Notice Romans 8 and 28. Oh, Lordy. Notice Romans 8 and 28. Notice this right here. Boy, somebody going to get delivered today. I said, somebody going to get delivered. You're going to go back to being yourself. I can see a change taking place in some of you right now. You finna go back to being yourself. Yeah, you finna go back to having joy like you once had before. But notice something else that you got to know. Paul said in Romans 8 and 28, and we what? And we what? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his what? Tell your neighbor, you have to know that whatever you go through, it will work out for your good if you love the Lord. Tell your neighbor, that means whatever you're going through this morning, if you really love God, all of it, shall all of it, shall all of it, is working for your good. Tell your neighbor, good is coming out of every one of your trials. Every trial that I'm going through, God is going to bring good up out of it. But guess what? I got to know that. No matter how bad it looks, I got to have it in my heart. You know what? Good coming out of this. Good coming out of it. I've been in it a long time, so that means some sure enough good coming out. But you better get like Job. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And Job knew all that he was going through. God is going to bring good out of it. He got to. Back to James, and we closing in James. He has to. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. And then in the book of James, last thing you got to know. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It's going to bring forth endurance. It's going to bring forth perseverance. Oh my God. But tell your neighbor, when patience shows up, you have to let it work. Tell your neighbor, you have to allow patience to do what it came to do. See, when patience shows up, I don't want that. I don't want. No, when patience show up, if you got knowledge and understanding, you recognize that if I let patience have, notice verse 4, it's perfect work, then I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to come to full age. I'm going to come to maturity. And I'm going to be complete. I'm going to be sound or I'm going to be whole. And in the end, when you mature, when you become sound, when you become whole, then James said, you will end up lacking nothing or no thing. Do you see that? But I have to let patience work. I got to let patience do what it showed up to do in my life. And so that means I got to endure what I'm going through. I have to persevere because, again, I know God is in charge. Is that right? I know God is in charge. I know all things work together for my what? Good. And I know patience is working on me, so I'll be perfect and complete. And in the end, I won't lack nothing.